self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassion and livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves its path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sava. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
So I've been working with two really, really charged pieces of content.
Uh-huh.
And looking at the process of fear around both of them. And what dropped in while I was meditating is that, well, in both cases, the fear manifests differently.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, it is simply that I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, do I want to stay afraid or not?
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because if I do, then I have to let the story go.
If you want to stay afraid, you have to let the story go.
Well, what if I want to be free of the fear?
Got it.
Then I have to let the story
go.
And that simply is all of the ways in which I'm frightened.
Mm-hmm.
That as a universal process of fear,
mm-hmm.
what it does is it just continues to harp on the fear without really telling me what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
So when I look at what am I afraid of, all of the consequences of that piece of content,
mm-hmm.
I've actually had an experience of,
mm-hmm.
and life just went on.
Uh-huh. But you're never supposed to stop and look at it that closely, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And if there's an interesting process where when someone offers that it's simply a story that I have to drop,
mm-hmm.
there's a tendency to want to have the experience of feeling frightened.
Mm.
Right? So I do want to have, I mean, it's like you're invalidating my experience if you're telling me that it's simply a story.
So someone suggests, you know, that might be a story.
Well, that's just karmic conditioning.
Or that's just karmic conditioning that could be let go. And what you notice, the reaction to that is actually wanting the experience of a fear. Like, you're trying to take my experience away from me.
That's right. And so it's that place of, you know, when we get into spiritual practice, we are committing to transcending ego.
Yeah.
But when we're offered what is a reflection of what is really keeping it in place,
right.
It resists because it wants to stay there. And in that identification, we don't realize, at least I didn't realize, that the fear would persist so long as I'm listening to something that is telling me I'm afraid.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the fear will persist as long as you're listening to something that's telling you you're afraid.
Because there is nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
It's simply the fear of fear,
yes.
or fear of whatever. So it was just interesting to be given a perspective that what resists, that is, if I stop to examine something, examine fear, mm-hmm. then it never tells me what the consequences are.
Right. Because if it does lay out clearly what the consequences are, then you can go to the experience you had, which is that, okay, well, let me follow each of those through, that one, that one, that one, and realize, well, actually, I've had all of those experiences.
That's right.
And life has just gone on.
And it wasn't catastrophic.
Yeah.
And the corollary there is that I noticed is it didn't tell me that I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That the fear is something is going to happen that is related to the content. Mm-hmm. It's not related to the fact that regardless of the content, I might step outside and get hit by a truck.
Right. Right.
Which is the fear that which is what we all have to be, what we're actually practicing to be okay with.
Yes.
Right? That I'm not an invulnerable, permanent process.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you started us off with fear this morning. We had a guidance day yesterday. And so I got to talk with a number of people in the Sangha, and hearing what people have to say and looking at my own experience, fear is so up, it seems like, in the conversation of Sangha.
Uh-huh.
And two really interesting things about that. One is, the fear book is the book that we're reading from in the sitting groups right now. And in fact, I'm restraining myself not to go to the one that we're going to be talking about on Tuesday, because it's just exactly what you're saying. But it's so interesting that in really upping our game, which to me is turning and facing directly at egocentric karmic conditioning, instead of us being on the run, we're turning around and looking straight at it. And what it comes back with is this fear, which we're supposed to then go, oh no, okay, I won't. Because all those sensations and all that experience were meant to just go right back to it being in control.
Mm-hmm.
But instead what you're describing is actually continuing that inquiry and look, well, what is going to happen? And when you do that, you realize there's nothing to it.
Right, because it is fear.
Yes.
Right, that the inability to confront my own mortality mm-hmm. is what ego is
mm-hmm.
in response to.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, that the process that it maintains is dire consequences without bringing the ultimate consequence in, mm-hmm. which is I'm going to end.
Right.
Right? Because then, because if I was okay with the ultimate consequence, then it ceases to exist.
Yeah. You're invulnerable.
You
actually become invulnerable.
Well, I become part of all that is, which all that is starts and ends.
Exactly. And there's no I to have anything catastrophic happen to.
Yeah. Well, and the other interesting aspect of it that I saw in this other piece of content is it always frames something as the fear of having to give up mm-hmm. something for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a trade-off. I'm afraid to do this mm-hmm. because if I do this, I have to give this other thing up.
Mm.
In that world of fear, because it is a mutually sort of a trade-off kind of process,
mm-hmm.
that you can't have this and this simultaneously, doesn't exist. Whereas in life, the awareness is, well, actually, one identity has to die. But it opens up the possibility of all that is only possible to experience if the identity is dead.
Right.
Right? So this lifestyle, or this way of being, or this choice
mm-hmm.
comes with it all of these things.
Yeah.
But all of those things are permanent.
Uh-huh.
And they are, that if in order to have them, nothing else can, I mean, there's no concept of you could have everything.
Right.
And when the identity dies, the possibility of a world where all of it, including what was only solely soul, becomes possible. But so long as I'm afraid that I'm giving up something, I never have the ability to experience saying yes to the adventure.
Right. Yeah. And likely, if I'm tracking what you're saying, saying yes to the adventure, which opens you on a process level to having what you actually want. So, you know, like what we're talking to is that there's all this content, right? These things that I'm going to have to give up, but I really want them, or whatever they are. And as you say, they're impermanent. And so really being attached to those things, by definition, makes us vulnerable isn't quite the right word, but at the mercy of that fear, because there really are these things that I want, and they're going to go away.
It's a very brittle orientation.
Brittle, that's a good word for it.
Uh-huh. Well, as you were saying that, you know, we've had this conversation before. It's that it's the if it's my father's will, let me go, let me hurry.
Yeah.
In a different perspective, because I just lost it. In other words, I can look at the whole process as life's test to see if I will always say yes to life, no matter how I feel. Right?
That's good.
So it's like, okay, yes, it's an adventure, let me have fun, because I'm practicing fun. I'm practicing saying yes. Because what the training is, am I going to choose life over ego in every choice point?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's that piece about regardless of how I feel is so big, isn't it?
Yes.
Because that,
if I'm afraid, I'm never going to take the step. If I believe that I am going to lose something, I'm never going to say yes.
Yes, exactly. It's always in some tiny way going to be conditional.
Yes, yes, exactly so, exactly so. And so it's interesting to look at the encounters that I have to transcend simply as a way for life to go, are you going to say yes to me?
Oh, yeah.
And are you going to say yes in the spirit of adventure? And are you going to have fun with it? Because you're training to have fun and to say yes, no matter how you feel.
And in that I hear almost like, because you've asked for that, and I'm, you know, it's like almost like life is in a coaching position with us.
Yes.
And so when we state clearly, maybe that's what's going on as a sangha, we've said clearly what we want.
Yes.
You know, careful what you pray for, right? Because then life as the coach is going to step forward and give to each of us exactly the circumstances that we need to transcend that which we've said, I want to transcend.
Right. And I was looking at that with another piece of content, and it's like the models I have said yes to the karma. Not yes to struggling against it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And so the narrative for me is I've never actually said yes. I've always said yes to the struggle, but I never have. It's never allowed me to see that I've said yes to life. So the changing the narrative to being the warrior, not the victim.
So
it's really important.
It is, and if I'm following what you're saying, that you realize you have been saying yes to life, but the narrative has not been that, and so now you're having a chance to actually own that that is what's been going on. Is that what you're saying?
See, look at my life. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's never been. It's only the narrative that says I've struggled.
Right. Yeah.
Not triumphed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a powerful switch to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, that was a lot to absorb.
It was
just really dense. And it seems like it reflects on something I've been looking at and working on in the last week and a half or so. Probably it's in a smaller context than we just saw, but something happened that triggered an old karma of fear. And the fear was of being alone and not supported in this situation.
Okay.
And so then yesterday I had two instances of seeing animals in conditions that I felt was, I mean, it actually rented my heart open. Mm-hmm. They weren't hurt. One of them, I didn't even see the animal. I just heard a story. Mm-hmm. They weren't hurt. You know, the first one was a little calf all by itself. There wasn't another cow anywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. it was really young. Mm-hmm. And I just projected all over it, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And the other was a story about another animal that I projected similar kind of left alone, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. abandonment kind of issues onto. Mm-hmm. And what I saw in pulling the projections back and saying, if I'm seeing that in those animals, yeah. two in a row,
yeah, yeah.
There's somebody, something inside of me that is feeling vulnerable,
yeah.
helpless,
yeah.
abandoned.
Uh-huh.
And so going and looking at the situation that had happened last week where I could identify those feelings were underneath the sort of anger that sort of surfaced to protect.
Okay, so the anger was the one past that vulnerable kind of...
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, what happened was the person who felt vulnerable, that the karmic thing is the person never feels like it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. The conditioning has been, you're good if you don't. Mm-hmm. So the person says what's going on that indicates help is needed, mm-hmm. but doesn't actually say, this
help.
Is happening,
uh-huh.
this is not acceptable, I need help in this way mm-hmm. to make it work. Mm-hmm. She says what's going on, she indicates that it's not working, but she fails to actually ask for what she needs. Mm. That's the fear of saying yes, mm-hmm. in a way, of saying yes mm-hmm. to life.
Uh-huh.
It's a fear of being... The fear is, I'm not going to get the support,
right.
and then I'm at that place where non-survival, that's where we have to deal with
right.
the death thing that was previously spoken about. So in order to avoid getting there where the answer might be, sorry,
oh. uh-huh.
In fact, there's been the lack of support with all these kind of expressions along the way
uh-huh.
sort of indicates that I'm not going to get the support if I ask.
Right, right. Oh my God, it's just a perfect.
It's all
double bind.
It's all
who,
there, you know,
yeah.
this big karmic sandwich, you
yeah.
know, with this person in the middle,
yeah.
you know.
Absolutely guaranteed to put you in the habitual karmic suffering place.
And you know, as I was going through it, I thought, this is so familiar. I mean, this is. I knew it was karma.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday, in those things where I projected on the animals, I sort of pulled that back in and could see that the person who was in the situation who needed the support mm-hmm. was the little child who got the message that she was a good girl if she didn't ask.
Right.
So as she's grown up over the years, she's taken it on that her survival depends on doing it herself and not asking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so,
which automatically puts her in the position of not getting the assistance, and then the yeah,
and then saying, "Well, see, I was saying
yeah, exactly.
what I needed, but I can see now, you know,
were.
From this perspective,
yeah.
that I could have said, this is going on.
Yeah.
I'm having this experience. It doesn't feel safe for me to do this. I need for this to happen mm-hmm. before I can continue doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just said." About 3 or 4 times, this is happening, and this is awful experience,
right.
but I didn't say...
So the key piece of information.
Yeah, so finally I get to the point where I don't feel like I can do it anymore, and then I communicate that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, on the other end, it's kind of like, well, whoa.
That was sudden.
That was sudden, exactly. But it wasn't sudden. It had been working of its way, but the person in the situation did not have the courage.
Yeah.
To actually say, I'm afraid that I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And this is not, I don't feel okay doing this.
Yeah.
I need for something to change, and here's what I need.
Yeah.
And if I can't get what I need, then I'm sorry, I can't continue to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah, and so it sounds like in seeing that really clearly, there's this whole other possibility available.
Yes, and for the whole lifetime, there wasn't that possibility because in the karmic situation, she was asking for what she needed.
In her own mind,
she was asking by saying, this is going on, and by saying something about how she was feeling about it, the other person was supposed to then interpret.
Right. Boy, and it's such an interesting place, isn't it? And it'll be, I hope you'll report back, because, so there's that place where there's a part of us who has, got the message in this case, it's good if you don't ask, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Way back. Long enough that could have been undone a long time ago. It's just such a groove.
But it doesn't get undone.
Yeah.
Because on top of that is an identity who then will make sure she doesn't ask for the actual thing, right? And the thing that gets so tricky and murky in practice is that we often get confused about that. And then we look at the identity and say, oh, well, she doesn't really know how to ask and she doesn't. But, of course, that's such bullshit. The being knows exactly what to ask. It's just that the identity has so locked the whole thing in place that we're then not allowed to do it. So then what's so interesting, I project, about the place that you're in right now is you suddenly have the insight, which makes that other possibility 100% available, and then to watch whether or not we choose it.
Yeah, so when you're saying the identity that's locked in, so there's the young part that got this message very young and just carried that on. Then there's somebody who is actually not egocentric karma conditioning using that situation to always create that situation where she doesn't ask. There's actually somebody that I haven't seen yet that is part of this being who is committed not to asking.
Actually, I wasn't necessarily saying that. I was more saying what you were saying a minute ago, and I don't know. You'll have to look and see.
But yeah. Because
there's that young part, but then there is an egocentric karmic conditioning that makes sure that you're not going to ask the critical question, which is the only, in all that you laid out, really the only piece of information that needs to get communicated, even the part about, like, it feels unsafe, it does it, I mean, in a way, all of that's even irrelevant. The only piece of information that's needed is, here's what I actually need to do this job.
Yeah.
That's it. But that's the one thing you're not allowed to say.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not even the person who didn't even see that exactly that way just saw this isn't working and isn't allowed to really get clear. Although, basically, There was definitely something that needed to change, and she did know that was the thing that was
It sounds like she's very clear.
Yeah.
It's just that she's only allowed to say these certain string of things.
Yeah.
And then the other person is supposed to guess at what she needs based on that string of things.
Yeah, because it's better to do that and not get what you want than to say what you want and then not get it, because then it really means that you're out on the limb. So that's supposed to be sort of a safer way to do it, but it's guaranteed to never work.
Guaranteed. And as you say that, Cameron, the other thing that it feels like is so amazing about practice is that in that, if there is this little person who originally got this message and is, being made to feel afraid in this situation because she's afraid of rejection and all of that, what's possible for us is that we internally are the ones who care for that little person.
Yeah, exactly.
So regardless of, even if, so then it really makes that direct possibility available to us, because you absolutely can say, hey, here's what I need for this job, because if someone says, well, no, you can't have that, then this little person is not the one that's out there receiving that information.
Absolutely, absolutely. It reminds me, when you just said that, it reminded me of what we were talking about Thursday, where we're trying to, it's slipping away, but something about we're focused on where we're going rather than focused on what's not working.
Yeah.
So, and there was the thing that when we got there, if we were a conditioned person, when we got there, we would have to be this person then who could accept that news.
Yeah.
No, if she is being taken care of as we're moving into learning how to communicate this, when that thing no comes, then it's not her that gets it. It's the person that has stepped into taking responsibility for the situation, and then when the news comes, well, we can't do that, then
it doesn't mean anything.
Huh?
It doesn't mean anything.
It's not dramatic. Nothing
to do with her.
It's just okay.
It's
well,
information.
Yeah, I won't be able to continue doing this then in that case because whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
that conversation from Thursday really is relevant, isn't it? Because if what's going on in that whole thing is I'm trying to get, I don't know how you would describe it, validation or something, not to feel abandoned, not to feel vulnerable, not to feel left alone. So if we get it that that's what's happening, karmically, that's what I'm trying to get in this situation, we can go all the way back to the beginning, provide that from the start, and then anything goes. And then we don't have to do that whole karmic loop around making sure that the trauma happens again.
Something that flashed when you said that was something else that happened Thursday night where Sherry said you cannot confirm a negative.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm trying to not get what I don't want, I'm trying to actually get what I want, but I'm trying to get it by confirming a negative.
And rather than
taking responsibility and communicating.
Right. And actually what's really going on is exactly what you described, which is that the karmic system is set up to exactly get what I, quote, don't want.
Yes.
It's what karma wants. It's what karma wants. And karma gets it every time.
Karma gets what it wants when it's got its ways.
When we're not here.
And that's why it's so good that we're actually looking at that and seeing how it works and then taking those techniques to make it work for us.
Exactly. So turning, like we were talking about earlier, turning directly at it, which is where the fear piece can come in. Like, don't look directly here. Big, bad, danger. Terrible things are going to happen. And exactly the opposite is true.
Yeah, and then what I'm seeing now is the next thing. Okay, I have seen this, and now that habitual pull, that habitual gravitational pull of karma, when it comes to where I have to open my mouth and say
the simple thing.
Yeah.
But that can be such an instructive place, can't it? Because now that you're so clear, it's like, okay, well, that's seeing karma in action.
Right.
Well, this is what it feels like when the identity is here and doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I did actually have an experience of how empowering that will be when I can do it that way, just by, at the point when I said, I can't do this anymore, I realized I had stood up for the person who needed something way different than what was happening. And so, but she just didn't do it skillfully. But I could see that in learning to communicate what I need when I need it, then that is going to be stepping into a new level of kind of power in a way.
Yeah, that's why, back to the behavior change. So even if what you did was different than what you usually do, maybe as you're saying, maybe it quote wasn't skillful or maybe it was, who knows? But it's different, and anything that's different is something along the way that helps us really see and fine tune. And okay, that wasn't quite it. Well, then what is it? And then
it helped me see the karma clearly.
Helped you see the karma
that in addition to the projection onto the animals. Thank you.
Well, part of both of these conversations this morning that I'm really interested in looking more closely at magnetism of the narrative of the fear, and what finally breaks that, or how that shift happens.
The shift from being so drawn to it to actually having the option to not go with it.
Yes, and phrase like it was phrased earlier, the shift from saying no to the invitation of life to move on to saying yes, or to choosing a different narrative or something. Because, I project we all have had the experience of being just so enveloped for hours, days, weeks, months, years at a time with the story, and then something just just shifts. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, things that you've heard a million times, I'm willing to go there. You know,
right.
And that's so interesting to me. What that is, because it feels like a big, feels like either a big point to just accept on grace, and you know, or something that can actually be sought. You know, we can actually practice in that particular whatever.
Mm-hmm. That perhaps that process of going from the, however you would talk about, unwilling to willing, blind mm-hmm. to being able to see, or whatever mm-hmm. that is, perhaps that process is something that you could practice.
Yeah, because what it feels like is that it just happens.
Right.
Sometimes, anyway. Mm-hmm. But as I'm even saying that, and as you were saying what you said, what I realize is also going on, mm-hmm. the other element that maybe it doesn't get into the spotlight, is that there's still the steps of practice happening.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it sort of reminds me of that line, and I think it's the sitting still, where it says, if there is a prayer in our practice, it's no enlightenment before it's time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And as you were talking, it reminds me, too, of the insight needs experience.
Yeah, say more
about that. Well, that, I actually just heard something recently about, I can't remember exactly how it went, but Einstein talking about, you know, like the theory of relativity, you know, and how, yeah, it actually did drop in, like in a moment, mm-hmm. but all the things that allowed it to drop in,
mm-hmm.
all the things that came before, all the experiences, all the, mm-hmm. and that it's like suddenly there's a tipping point. I was talking mm-hmm. to someone about this yesterday, where we were talking about how something will happen, which I project is what you're talking about, and it's like, wow, that just happened. And we were looking at the analogy of something growing up through the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then you wake up one morning and it's budded, and you can see it coming up, and it feels like, well, that just happened.
Yeah.
But of course, all the things that happened underneath the earth for so long, from a tiny, tiny, you know, microscopic seed that had to happen for that to then poke up through the ground.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting, this tree out here is the same with, like, one day I was like, where did all those beautiful blossoms come from? How did I miss that?
I know, don't you want to? See, it's easier for me having been gone for 3 weeks. I'm like, wow, all this happened when I was gone, but I'm
out there every day. And it's like, okay, next year, I'm going to not miss this.
Yeah.
You know? And it's sort of like exactly what I brought up right now.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I see this? You know, and is it even something to, you know?
Right, do you even need to?
Or is it just
Or do you just delight when it suddenly appears?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of, if somebody were saying, no, Rebecca, it's just grace, uh-huh. then I can say, okay, good. And uh-huh. I'll just struggle as long as I struggle uh-huh. and do all that. But there's something about that narrative of I'm a struggler mm-hmm. instead of I'm a seer.
Uh-huh. And I don't know if this fits, but what just dropped in when you said that was, and even if we don't know the answer to the question, is it just grace, or, you know, or is there some way we can actively practice that, is what I hear mm-hmm. you saying. Even if we didn't know the answer to that question, could the narrative still be, well, there's this amazing process that happens in awareness?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even if struggle or whatever word we would use for that is a piece of what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Does the narrative have to be struggle?
Yeah, does it, even when, okay, so I'm a person who sees, let's say that's the narrative, and that includes sometimes eons of struggling, mm-hmm. sometimes lots of pain, mm-hmm. some, but that doesn't mean that I'm not a person that sees. But we can say it over that just, it just looks like this.
Yeah.
Instead of, it's like the behavior is this, and the, you know, whatever's this, and all of that, it's that what ego does is it steals the narrative, it pirates mm-hmm. the narrative, and mm-hmm. says, that means you're, you know, a screw up. That's what that means.
Uh-huh.
And instead, mm-hmm. I think that's that moment that was pointed to of we can be faced with that choice point of either believing life's narrative, mm-hmm. like, no, I still live in a monastery, and I'm still listening and recording, and I do, you know, that I'm choosing life.
Or I can,
and it really does seem to boil down to that, that the narrative, you know, of which one we're going to buy.
And I don't know if I can quite say what I'm seeing as you said that, but it's like, and in either case, we don't even really need to be a someone who. Because it's like, we've been talking about, like, over the last year or so in practice, you know, are we in a condition process or are we in a life process? And that life process is that, the process of seeing, of suddenly it's blooming, of, you know, being willing to do all it takes to see all, you know, all of that is a life process. You know, and I don't even know if we need to be a someone who.
There's a little but that's coming up in, as you say that. Because there does feel like a narrative is going on, and it does feel like there is a choice point, but maybe, I think maybe what you're saying is that that even on that level of choosing is a somebody choosing, and that if that can be released, then the ego narrative goes along with it, and it doesn't need to be another narrative, it just needs to be released, perhaps.
Well, that's neat what you just said. So that if I follow going along, and that there's, it could be that there's an I who's choosing this narrative or that narrative, and that it, what's possible is to just let go any I who's choosing any narrative.
Yeah. And even in letting go of the any narrative period is letting go of the I that's choosing.
Yeah, because then we're just life living.
And as we watch the next narrative get made, we can, because that, that really probably is just a trick. It'll start kind of in a positive and then kind of work its way
it's
into the
slowly
weirdest
work.
Yeah.
Yeah, the synchronicity of practice is quite amazing. Just all the conversations are exactly speaks to my last week, where I had an event that triggered a whole bunch of karma, and then watched everything that happened after that, and that magnetism of getting pulled back in to the conversation with conditioning about what to do and how to handle it, and the fear, and just, it was just this whole thing that played out. And what the experience was to say yes over and over and over and over again to life, just to keep saying yes. Because if I didn't stay with it and wasn't persistent, then conditioning would, then I would go into the karma and get pulled into it.
So the default position is to go with the karma, especially you laid it out really clearly, in a situation where something, an event happens that triggers all of it, we're so trained at that point to basically, we don't think about it this way, but to say no to life and to turn all of the attention to ego to see, okay, what should I be doing now, and what should I, how should I be feeling, and what should I be saying, and what should I be doing, and so what you realized in that was, in a moment by moment by moment basis, to keep yourself aligned with life, just keep saying yes to life, yes to life, yes to life.
Yeah, because the belief is so deep in so deeply ingrained that conditioning is going to give me the answer to what to this, and that it's going to protect the one who's afraid. Because there was one who was afraid to do something in particular, and I know exactly why she's afraid, and you know, and from childhood and karma, you know, my karmic tendencies, and so I looked at all that, and then. And even if I went into conditioning for a short time to have all the tools that we're currently using to bring me back to life. So it's like we've got it surrounded. I'm participating in the stop, drop, and text. And it was like, when I first started, I was only sending like 2 a day, and I got an email about sending 3. You know, I wasn't following the rules, in other words, or the guidelines. And so then I started sending the 3, and it was like, wow, that's a really big difference from 2 to 3. You know, like that one little change. And then it was like, so I had that and other support practices, and just
I felt so supported, and also from recording and listening. And then I heard someone on some, I don't know where, but somewhere talk about the two hand again, and which I've done.
Recording in one hand,
yeah,
as the person who's maybe struggling and that sort of thing. Right. Putting in the other hand to be the mentor and offering.
Yeah. I think it was from last weekend or something. Mm-hmm. Heard people talking about it. And so I did it, and I got the most amazing recording from the mentor on it, you know.
Wow.
And that I just want to keep listening to it. You know, we talk about recording a whole bunch of recordings. Now I have this one I just want to listen to constantly. And so it was just fascinating. And to stay with it and to be, there's no way to know for sure what was really going on. But I project that I stayed fairly present through the whole thing. And what life dropped in each time was nothing like what conditioning would have told me to do. It's not even imaginable by conditioning.
Mm-hmm. And there was the willingness to receive that guidance, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, I think I was present.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, or going in and out of it, like saying yes every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then revealing the karma at different points in time through other guidance opportunities. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the willingness to do it. And the willingness seems to, there's a lot about willingness actually in all of it, because the resistance to having that event happen is there, or, you know, has been there.
Mm-hmm.
And it shifts to, I want that to happen.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so that I could see and be free of it.
Yeah.
And even as I was sitting, as we said, the recollection today, I'm supported by karma.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like, it's like the raft. Mm-hmm. I see it as the raft.
Yeah.
The bad things that happen, or the things that trigger me, are that support.
Yeah. When they're surrounded by practice, that was such a great image that we used. We've got it surrounded. So habitually, the difficult thing happens, and our relationship with it is, I hate that difficult thing. I don't want it to happen. Now we look up to conditioned mind. What am I supposed to do about this? How do I get out of this? How do I not feel this way?
Right, running.
I mean, running.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I have the U-Haul fantasy all the time. I'm out of here. This is over. I'm headed to the beach.
The U-Haul fantasy.
I'm getting rid of my cell phone, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. TV, here I come. Yeah. But then that, just having that incredible, it really is a willingness, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To make the fundamental different choice is to stay there.
Yeah.
Instead of running, is to stay and surround it with practice. And then it's like, what I hear in that is an incredible faith to just give it to practice, give it to life.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you were doing anything, right? Okay, no, don't believe that, don't. But just being willing to surround it with practice in all the different practice opportunities that you have. And just that in itself, A, as you said, reveals the karma.
Yeah.
B, drops in the alternative. And then C, the willingness to actually follow the alternative.
Yeah, and a big piece of what I saw in what was going on was conditioning telling me that there was something wrong with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, something wrong with being angry,
mm-hmm.
something wrong with being afraid,
mm-hmm.
something wrong with all of those things, because there's a lot of beliefs about that too. So you're not supposed to be angry, you're not supposed to be afraid, and you're not supposed to act from those places either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yet you are.
Right? So you're clearly the wrong person.
Right, so there's no way out of it. Like when you're identified in that way.
Yeah.
And so the one who was afraid, it was like telling her, it's okay to be afraid.
Right.
It's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
You know, just it's happening.
Yep.
It's not like it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know. So, and that narrative about it's not happening or it shouldn't happen is part of the resistance of keeping it in place.
Absolutely.
And it's so subtle. It's like. Yeah. It comes in right after the event, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the anger,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you're not supposed to be angry.
And then it's just, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Like, but I am.
And then you're wrong for saying anything about it,
right.
You know, to the person that might be involved in the event, and, yeah. or anyone else, or for any, you know, it's yeah. just
wrong.
It's all wrong.
It's all wrong. Yeah.
And I was looking at that in terms of worry. It was like all this was going on at the same time. I worry, and then it was like there's something wrong with worry, is what it was telling me. But you know, it's still happening.
Right.
That's yeah. still going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that incredible power of acceptance, which is just turning to it and realizing, well, it must be okay because it is.
Right.
And I know that this is a really good person. And so there must be some other explanation here, which opens us up to this other way of relating to it, which is a way from practice. Instead of from conditioning, we begin to relate to it through practice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we see all these other possibilities. And then there is nothing wrong, truly, in the sense of that very thing that I really don't want to have happen because all these things, you know, all these things become something I actually do want to have happen because I can practice with it, because I have all these tools that I can actually face it with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so just, it's just, right, you know, just an amazing experience to have that totally different experience. Yeah. Just, yeah. And just to be able to, and whatever was just talked about with the grace, and I, you know, when does that happen? Mm-hmm. Who knows when? You know, I mean, all the practice that we do, and then mm-hmm. it just happens.
and you're just
able to be there.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to be there, and to yeah. know that you have that choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no like. And then I heard conditioning saying, "Oh, well, now you've got this."
Right.
You know. It's like, yeah. no, I don't have it.
Exactly.
No, I don't have anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the movement to become something permanent, right? That's going to, okay, great. I've got this, and from now on, I'm going to feel this way. And
yeah.
This is great. This is really
it's great.
Great,
and it's over and
done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all just setting up this static thing outside of life mm-hmm. that's then, once again, completely vulnerable to life. You know, it's like set up yeah. in opposition to life.
Exactly, and I don't want to be that.
And you don't want to be that?
You yeah. know, it's like believing you do want to be done is how it operates.
Exactly.
But it isn't.
Yeah. And getting it that we actually don't want to be that what actually we want, it's that way of transformation, right?
Yeah.
Where we just want to have that stuff happen over and over and over so we wear away mm-hmm. that illusion of a separate self, that illusion of permanence. Yeah. Talk about a fearless relationship to life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because what that means is like, I mean, everything can happen.
Yeah.
And I actually want it to. Because that's what's wearing this away, and just only leaving life. So instead of being afraid of all the things that are going to happen that I'm not going to be adequate to, we become eager for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I did. You're saying exactly what a mantra I use sometimes: anything can happen, and I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly yeah. what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Let's go ahead.
First of all, I see that you can't join a team who's not always up in your game and not get, you know,
sucked in.
Not get sucked into it. You know, it just feels like I've just felt the energy of that a lot this mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. And it's just good to be here this morning and feel. You know, once again, it's just, wow, you know, not having a unique experience,
yeah.
you know, it's just mm-hmm. everybody on the team is, yeah. you know, there. And
and the whole spectrum.
And the whole spectrum. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really, sometimes really just on it. The game is just right there, uh-huh. making all the shots. Uh-huh. Other times, really not. And just, can you practice with me for a minute here because I'm not making any shots.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's okay if you're the person that's not making the shots at the time, you yeah. know, and other people are, and just
because it doesn't preclude upping your game at all, does it?
No.
Because upping your game, actually, where did Sherry say this recently? I don't know, but that it's not about succeeding or achieving. These are my words. But that it's about like being in the game. It has nothing to do with like scores or
truly
making the basket or
it's the whole process of just being 100% participating at whatever, you know,
yeah.
whatever level's available to you at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's 100% fear.
Yeah.
You know? and just like,
yeah,
you know,
straight at it.
But
yeah,
to just be in it, yeah, you know, and accepting of it. And I'm just, this could be related to my Enneotype, but just this deep-seated fear, I mean, deep-seated fear, but a deep-seated belief that there's some way, comfortable way to go up against karma. Mm. You know?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there is, you know? That I'm a nice person, can't it just be easy? You know? And yeah, that...
I wonder if that's true for every Enneotype. There's a perfect way to go up against karma, there's a helpful way to go up against karma.
Yeah.
A successful way to go up against karma.
You know, every time I get it, that this is not like necessarily going to be comfortable, it's like new news. Oh. Oh, okay. All right. And then, and so, I guess, yeah. So what I'm looking at right now is, first, that it doesn't matter, you know, that thing about not mattering what how you feel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And that willingness to just walk through, mm-hmm, and be present to whatever is life is presenting.
Yeah.
And I've just had, you know, and I literally get down on the floor sometimes and just say, okay, life, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, I just need to be carried for a while, or, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not in my...
Yep.
And
this little eye gives up.
This little eye gives up. Mm-hmm. And there is a bit of letting go with that. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
you know, and trust.
Yeah.
That, oh, okay. I'm not in control of this whole business.
Never was.
Never was. It was, that was an illusion.
Yeah.
It sure was a comfortable one for a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and as was just spoken about, just like, okay, bring it on, you know, mm-hmm, because truly, truly, what, you know, all that other stuff has been tried over and over and over,
right,
again.
Right.
You know, it's just, yeah, it's, there is that willingness to just, really to jump into some new,
yeah.
And I'm looking too at, I think this is a bit of conditioning that gets set up where, you know, get pushed to the wall, you know, that this up against the karma, take some steps against, you know, that are contrary to the karma.
Mm-hmm.
And then there wants to be this kind of slide back,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
once that's happened.
Like, that's enough.
That's enough. Okay.
Just go back a little to the,
yeah,
quote, comfort zone.
Comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to keep the momentum up to just,
yeah,
yeah, to be in that place of new behavior, mm-hmm, that,
yeah,
yeah, that place of, like, let's see, I don't know what's coming. It's just like, it takes, I can see that it's just more than one.
Yeah.
One occasion.
I think I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's continual peeling away.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we go back to an earlier conversation, so we suddenly see a whole piece of karma revealed in that a very different option is available to us. So it would be the equivalent of, like, I do that one time, that's plenty. Now we can go,
yeah,
back to the way we,
yeah,
normally do it.
Yeah.
But that the courage to,
yeah,
realize, okay, I'm going to keep using it. And for a while, it's going to feel, quote, uncomfortable.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's so interesting, isn't it? Because that place of comfort that it's on, that you're talking about, is so conditional, isn't it?
Yes.
And that, I project, that's what that finally moves us out of it and willing to,
yes,
go,
yeah,
up against something else.
Yeah.
We realize, you know, forget that.
Yeah.
It's so conditional. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, really. I get this image, just like a little kid running in and cracking the door open and looking at the monster and then,
yeah,
you know, running away and like,
yeah,
okay, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to do it anymore.
But that's such a perfect image because But I'm still completely afraid of the monster.
Exactly. The door's still closed. Yeah. The monster's still there.
Yeah.
You know, and until you just like can open the door, go into the room with the monster and just, you know, look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so, so just looking at that place of stopping, running out, peeking through the door and running back and, you know, and throwing the door open.
Yeah.
And and being willing to, well, if the monster eats me, it's going to be better than being afraid all the time of the monster.
Yeah, and just, you know, so much room, it sounds like, for the mentor in there to really support the person to, you know, who wants to open that door and is afraid to. And, you know, that's okay. As you said, it's completely all right to be afraid, but let's keep opening that door.
Yeah. And the... boy, and just working with the body, you know, one of the hooks for me is like when the body sensations get really, when it does feel like death is just, you know, it's like, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rough to say, okay, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to go for what makes this body comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for what... seeing through this.
And you know, as you said, that's where we've just dropped in. Is that seems like such a powerful time to check back in with what we actually want.
Yeah.
So there's all that sensation going on, and for the mentor to be able to say, because of course it's not right, you know, good, bad, to open the door or not open the door.
Yeah.
It just goes back to, but what do we actually want?
Yeah.
And so for the mentor to be able to say, all right, it's really, really intense.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
What would you like help with? Because you know that authentic place is going to go, I want to help open that door.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I really don't want to open the door, but please help me open the door. you know, just that place of let's go.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just keeping the eye on what's so, what's authentic, what's, you know, what's there to step into rather than what's there to run away from or, it's a fun adventure.
It is.
Yeah. Can't think of a better name.
Yeah. Thank you. We have a few more minutes. Ashwini, my phone is going off because it's telling me to take my malaria medication. It's just right in my shoe, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. But we do have time for one more, June.
You didn't know that I'm going to be... suggesting to the guide that the next email class be karma and enneagram.
I would appreciate this.
Everything in me just lit up when you said, you took it to three, and my mind was to go
all the way around. Did it go all the way through?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's all I have to say. Just thank you for that.
Can't wait.
It might not happen, but I'm going to put it out there.
Someday. Penny, I kept saying that.
I've been looking at, as we've been talking about, and I remember Sherry's talking about sort of the moments when we tend to lose it are the moments of transition.
Yeah.
And what we're exploring is that we're always in transition. That's what makes it so challenging.
Right.
You know? So there's the old story that we're talking about, the magnetism of the old story. Well, there's the old story, and then there's the new experience.
Oh.
And in my experience, when the mentor speaks or the new experience happens, it's very succinct. The old story is very wordy. When the new experience happens, there's a gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mentor says what the mentor says and then shuts up. And there's a vacuum.
Huh.
And the old story rushes in to fill the vacuum because that vacuum is that transition point.
Uh-huh.
So it's really no wonder that we tend to get sucked back in because all of a sudden it's like all the air's been taken out of the room or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I was just seeing that what we're buying into and continuing to practice is being in transition all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a difficult place to be.
It is, and staying present, because going back to the conversation we had over here, that if we're present, then that suggestion from the mentor is very often the one that we'll choose, because it's what we actually want.
Oh, totally. We'll choose it. But often, again, it's to say that we choose it, and then sometimes it's like there's this silence.
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah.
In my experience, that's the awkward moment. Yeah. And that's the seductive moment when conditioning can say, I'll tell you what. Because it's like jumping off the high board or something. Yeah. There's that, oh,
yeah.
Discomfort. And it's just built into the process.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just seeing that. Yeah. I was just reflecting back on if transition is the hardest place, in upping our game, we're opting for the hardest place virtually all the time.
Yeah.
Just quite remarkable and
kind of inspiring.
Kind of inspiring and kind of scary and all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Justin, did you have something quick?
Yeah, it was really quick actually. Just that the Enneagram thing. I'm a 5, so I want to go up against karma by myself.
Boy, it really does work.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To it.
Phil.
Just the, that transition point is the place I've been looking at for the longest time, and it feels to me like right after the yes, or even right before it, where this transition point is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, karma hates that, you know, it just hates that, then that's when it wants to kind of push right in.
Yeah.
But it's just this, and to live in the I don't know, which is so uncomfortable in a lot of ways, but it's also
so much fun.
So much fun and freeing if I just stay in that place.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, and then we've got a lot of maybe yes, maybe no, and all those kind of things. To
I don't know, who can say? Yeah. Maybe so.
Yeah, but that to me feels the part where it's at.
And that is we talk so much in practice about expanding the container.
Exactly.
You know, being comfortable with redefining comfort.
Yes.
So what becomes comfortable is a much bigger space of, I don't know, who can say?
And that's, to me, the second yes, because it's like...
Did you say the second yes?
The second yes, because it's like I say yes, and then I don't know, I'm like, and yes, then that's the real yes to life. You know, I don't know, and I'm going to do it, you know.
Second yes.
Yeah, it seems like it always has to be.
It's a book title or something.